hate stupid people.
They should have to wear signs and just say, I'm stupid. That way you wouldn't rely on them, would you? You wouldn't ask me anything. You'd be like, excuse me. Oh, never mind. I didn't see your sign.
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
It has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised. I find it hard to walk away. I will not back down when you push me to the wall, expecting me. His chair, cause my long hair just can't cover up my redneck. I've won every fight I've ever fought, and I don't need some turkey telling me that I ain't country. Say,
oh, if you wanna have a go, I just wanna let you know.
What this world needs is a few more rednecks, so people ain't afraid to take a stand. What this world needs is a little more respect for the Lord and the law and the working man. And we could use a little peace and satisfaction. Some good people up front.
You can't take me.
Our houses are protected by the good Lord and a gun, and you might meet them both if you show up here not welcome, son. Our necks are burnt, our roads are dirt, and our trucks ain't clean. The dogs run loose, we smoke, we chew and fry everything out here.
There'll be a party come this November where we're gonna set things free. All good people gonna gather around, gonna show what made this country free. We'll run off the schemers and backroom dealers, so the red, white, and blue will prevail when we're holding the hammer. When we're holding the hammer. When we're
up next, Amy Reynolds shares some tips, hints, experiences, and stories on simple country living, on Living Way Out Here.
Watch where you go and remember where you've been. That's the way I see it, I'm a simple man.
Hi, everyone. Yes, it is me. I know you're surprised. This is Amy, and this is my show, Living Way Out Here. Thank you for being here with me. I appreciate it. It is Monday, May the 8th, and we had, actually, Cope and I were this past weekend. We were at in the Valley. Down Phoenix Mesa area, Cope's daughter Kelly, she is really good in track, and so she made the state track tournament, and so we went down there for her state. She does some running events, and she does pole vault and some different events. So it was really fun to be down there and to cheer her on and watch her. And it is amazing, amazing to see how fast some of these kids run. Just amazing. But anyway, it's fun to watch. It was when we got there Friday afternoon, and we pulled into the parking lot where it was, and the temperature, the external temperature showing on Cope's truck said 113 degrees. And we were coming from maybe 68 degrees. So it's quite a difference. And Cope and I just looked at each other and both thinking, why and how do people live down here? I don't get it. So we had the air conditioner on in our hotel room all night, and it was perfect. And but then the next day it was kind of cloudy, and it wasn't nearly as bad. Very, very, very windy, though. So had all kinds of weather coming in that time, but it was crazy. But anyway, we made it. Kelly did well in the track meet, and so it was fun, and we all had a good time, so that's a good thing. We got home yesterday, probably late afternoon, early evening, probably something like that. But anyway, so it was fun. Had a good time. All right. I'm going to do my show a little bit different tonight. I just have stories, some different stories to share with you. I don't have birthdays, and I don't have things that happen on this day in history. So, but I do have some
stories. I have a birthday for you.
His birthday.
Yeah, we'll do it in a little bit. It'll take a little while. We're going to make an event out of it. So
it's an event.
Yeah, you go ahead and do your thing there, and then in a little while we'll have a birthday.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this a good birthday or a bad birthday?
It's a good birthday. Is it a good birthday? All birthdays are good.
Depending on who the person is.
Well, sometimes it's never mind.
Yeah. All right. Okay, yes, Mountain Shooter 2, it was quite the windstorm. It was crazy down there. It really was. It was I don't know how high it was, the speed of the wind was, but it was in the distance. You could see a bunch of dust in the air, so it was crazy. But I'm just glad I didn't have one of the crazy sandstorms that happen down there sometimes.
A haboob,
that's what it is.
Haboob.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. All right, I wanted to tell you, hang on here, of course. There is a beach in Ireland that, this is a crazy deal, and this is not even Ripley's Believe It or Not. Probably will be soon. But 30 years ago on this beach was, actually, more than 30 years ago, it was swept away. They had some type of a horrible storm that showed up on this little remote island in Ireland. It's off the west coast of Ireland. And they said that this beach, it was near a tiny little village. Well, in 1984, it completely vanished because they had some type of a storm there. And it stripped away all of the sand that was there. And it said it just left nothing but a series of little rock pools everywhere.
That's some beach.
But get this. In spring of this year, like May, like this month, like just not very long ago, they had another storm. And this storm brought all the sand back, and now the beach is back again.
Well, some beach.
Is that crazy? That is crazy. It's more than 30 years ago. So 1984, it completely disappeared due to a storm. May 5th, 2017, they have another storm, and they said that the Atlantic Ocean returned all the sand, and the beach is back. I think that's a neat thing. Now, this beach at the time in 1984 when this all happened, it was a very popular beach. It had four hotels and a number of different guest houses on the west coast of the island. And 2,600 people lived on this island. So now they're wondering if they're going to be rebuilding it back. Now if the beach is back, what's going to happen? But I just think that's kind of an amazing thing. So I don't think you're nearly as impressed as I am about this. I can just feel it.
Well, it's...
Yeah, I can feel it.
I always, always love good sun beach stories.
Anyway, so 1984 disappeared. 2017 is back. Isn't that neat to you?
Well, it was just on leave for a while, I guess.
It's not even, like, fascinating to you?
It's kind of cool, yeah.
Wow. Speaking of fascinating, I have this friend of mine. She has become a friend. She is an herbalist. And she works with people. She lives not too far from here. And she actually does reflexology type things. You know, she has this little tool she uses, and she touches certain spots on your foot, actually your feet. She uses both your feet at two different times. And she just barely presses on certain parts of your feet. And if it hurts, or if it doesn't hurt, or a little bit hurts or not hurts at all, she writes things down on what your reaction is. And if it hurts really bad, then there's a problem. And she knows, because of your foot and your hand also, but your foot has all the parts of your body all over it. So if she touches something and it hurts, that's when she knows that there's a problem. And so she'll write things down for you. And then she gives you a regimen of different herbs to take.
So what reaction did she get when she touched the bottom of your feet?
Well, that's why I haven't gone through it.
Oh, I see.
See, my feet are extremely ticklish. No one can touch my feet. So actually, she just does the top of your foot and between your toes and the top of your toes. So as long as she doesn't touch the bottom of my foot, we can remain friends. Now, if her finger happens to, like, you know, touch the bottom of my foot, there could be a problem. But anyway, so it's really fascinating to I've taken both of my daughters and two of my friends to her now. And it's really neat to see how she works. And then she also, after she does that, and then she does, I think it's, I don't think it's kinesiology. I don't know what it is. But you hold your thumb and your middle finger together, not tight. And she will say things. And she says when she talks, she's actually talking to your spirit, because your spirit doesn't lie. And then she'll say, different things to prove to you broccoli is good for your body, spinach is good for your body. She says all these different things are good for your body, and she can't pull your finger apart. She barely does it.
She don't want to pull my finger anyway.
And then, you know what? And then she will, then she'll say sugar is good for your body, and she can pull your finger apart immediately because you're too weak, and that's like talking to your spirit. Anyway, it's really, really a neat thing. I'm not even doing justice to her as I could be, or am capable of, apparently. But anyway, it's really, really neat, and I want to go to her one day, I really do. But I just happened to have this beach thing fascination, and talking about how this friend of mine is really fascinating how she does this. She learned all this in Colorado, and she has a place down in Mesa. And then she also has a place up here that she helps people. She even has clients in Guam that she travels to help them. And my friends that have been on her, depending on your reaction to the different things that, you know, the parts of your body that she touches on your foot, that depends on how long you need to take certain herbs. I have some friends that have been on it for like 3 or 4 months. And huge difference in them. You can see it in their skin. You can see it they say they feel so much better. It's just amazing. So it's really neat stuff. So anyway, I just want to share that with you. All right. I don't know if any of you, I've never been here, but if any of you have ever been to, Sedona, Arizona. I couldn't think of it.
Oh, yeah, I actually have been there.
I never have. Sedona, Arizona. Well, Sedona apparently has beautiful, beautiful, it's known for its, red sandstone and really and neat outcroppings of sand, of the red sandstone. And they say that these rocks seem to kind of like glow in the sunset. And they said that it's, so Sedona is quite a tourist attraction. And they're, so they have, like all cities, you know, different, stores, fast food places, that kind of thing. And they've got, let's see, Wells Fargo and Safeway and Starbucks and Walgreens and McDonald's and all that kind of thing. However, in Sedona, the Golden Arches, you know, for McDonald's, supposed to be the big M, it's supposed to be shaped, it's kind of like, it's supposed to be made out of French fries. Well, in Sedona, in order for them to put a McDonald's there, their logo is blue. It's a more of a teal color because they did not want the, they want to blend more into the area, and they didn't want the golden arches and the red of this, you know how McDonald's is red and yellow. They didn't want that to take away from the, beauty of the natural surroundings of the sandstone. So I thought that was a pretty neat thing. Now they're saying that this is even quite a, because like, you know, like I said, Sedona is quite a tourist place because it's so beautiful. And now people are getting their picture taken with the McDonald's sign because this is the only one in the world that is that color. That's the teal color, and it's not the regular golden color, golden McDonald's. So it's kind of a neat thing. Now I was did a little bit more research on this, and actually there's two other places where there is, and I don't know that I didn't have time to look up the history as to why, but two other places where the gold arches are not
golden.
Yeah, in California, there's one that's it's black arches. I'm not sure why.
Probably signify the color of the air around there.
And I don't know what part of California. And then in France, there's one that has white arches.
Signify the surrender flag that they keep.
You know what I about done over there? So anyway, so I thought that was kind of a neat thing I wanted to share with you. So I thought that was fun stuff. All right. Now, I'm not watching the chat, so I don't know if there's anything happening that I need to know of.
Nope, kind of calm. Everybody's mesmerized by your voice.
Well, whatever. Anyway, there is a Japanese railway company. They have launched a new luxury sleeper train. It's got sky views and bathtubs and dark wood interiors. They said it's for the very elite travelers or tourists. The top suite, now this is a, it's a 10-car train. The top suite on the 10-car train, it's called the, I think I'm not, my Japanese is a little rusty, but I believe it's called the Shikishima, I think. What are you doing?
Something over there.
The Shikishima. So, get this. To sit, to be in the top suite of the Shikishima, it is $10,000 per person for a 4-day trip from Tokyo to Hokkaido. And that's one way. That's a one-way trip, by the way.
It's What's not, the other way?
It's not round trip. It's $10,000 one way. Okay?
Gotcha.
All right. So the train, when it had its maiden voyage, there's 33 passengers on it. And this features the traditional rice straw mats and bathtubs made from cypress wood. And these are in the executive suites. There's glass ceilings and walls that are built into two observatory coaches at the front and rear of the train so the passengers can watch the scenery. So this, and then also goes through the Tohoku region. That's the one that was hit in 2011 by the earthquake and the tsunami. It goes through there. Now, the cost of this, like I said, $10,000 per person for a one-way trip. And this train is fully booked until March of 2018.
Wow.
Yeah. And one of those reservations are, sir?
No, I don't believe so. I think I missed it by just a few seconds.
Oh, really? That's too bad. But it's quite quite nice inside this train. It's a white linen tablecloth. It's quite the deal. All right. Now, I don't know how people can do this, but maybe it's probably happened before more than once. This is in New Jersey. Well, there is a there's this guy. I guess he went to the Wyndham Skyline Tower Hotel and got his luggage out of his minivan and walked up to the valet guy that was standing there, or so he thought. He gave him his keys and he said, I'll be here for the weekend. I don't need my car. So the guy says, okay, doesn't tell him. Oh, by the way, I'm just standing here. I'm not a valet. So he gave the keys to his car, thinking that he was a valet, and so the guy stole it. The guy says, there's a 35-year-old guy. His name is Stephen Jacobs. He was arrested, obviously, when the officers stopped the vehicle because the guy went out to check on his car when he was getting ready to leave, and said, well, my car's not here. And I gave it to the valet, and they said, well, we don't have valet here. So you gave it to somebody else. So he gave him the description of his car. The police found him, pulled him over, found a loaded handgun on the floorboard of the van that was the owner of the guy who took the car. And he said, hey, the guy just gave me his keys. He voluntarily gave me his keys, but they said, well, you know what? You're still being charged with theft of movable property and a weapons offense. So if someone thinks you're the valet, just, you know, tell them straight up, no, not me.
I don't go to fancy places like that much anyway, but I've been a few times. I am not giving the keys to my pickup to some dork in it. I don't know who he is. It's not going to be happening.
Okay. All right. Here I have some Ripley's Believe It or Not for you. I'm going to talk about a little bit.
Probably not a lot of pickups in there anyway.
Probably not, no. So despite their name, centipedes do not have 100 legs. They all have an odd number of pairs of legs. So there you have it. Centipedes are really creepy, and I don't like them at all. They kind of freak me out a lot just thinking of him. There's a guy, he's a Chinese athlete. His name is Li Longlong. Mm-hmm. Well, he can climb.
There somewhere.
He can climb 36 stairs on his head. Yep, that's right.
A little different.
Yeah, it shows him how he has some type of a flat platform attached to his head. He's standing on his head and he jumps up the stairs, 36 of them. He can do this on his head, not using his hands. Italy has more masterpieces per square mile than any other country in the world. kind of neat. Italy has a lot of neat, never been there, but has a lot of neat. historical type things. All right, there's a couple more Ripley's Believe It or Not deals. Let's see here. Hold on.
Yeah, we're holding
on. More than 100 people claiming to celebrate a baptism at the Hotel Carmen restaurant in Spain danced out on an unpaid bill of about 3,000 euros via the conga line. You know, I can't stand that dance. Conga line thing.
Never heard of it.
Oh, you would if you saw it. It just irritates me. But there was more than 100 people saying that, hey, we just forgot about it. And so they were all caught up in being at the celebrating his baptism at this restaurant. And so they danced right out of the hotel without paying, or the restaurant without paying.
Danced right away, huh?
Yeah. I don't understand this, but there's a woman, her name is Sally Thompson. She's from England. She found a cubic zirconia in a hard-boiled egg.
Oh, I can find a bone in a hard-boiled egg, so I don't guess it's that strange.
Cubic zirconia is a fake diamond. Let's see. There's a Dr. Baddies. I guess it was called Dr. Baddies or Baddies. I think it's Baddies. Cigarettes were smoked by 19th century Americans to treat asthma. You have an oxymoron? And it was forbidden for medieval knights to be left-handed. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
About that? Yeah.
I guess that would be, if they were jousting, I guess that could be to their benefit if they happen to get on the right side, huh?
Yeah, it's true. Okay, and then there's a few more, and then I have one more thing to share with you, and then I'll be finished. Let's see here.
Don't forget our birthday.
Oh, that's right. The world's largest desert is not the Sahara. It is the entire continent of Antarctica. Okay. During World War II, British soldiers were rationed 3 sheets of toilet paper a day, while Americans received 22. Okay, and this is the last one. At a cost of $25,000, the world's most expensive taco is filled with Kobe beef, shrimp, caviar, black truffle cheese, and topped with gold flakes and civet coffee, presented to the diner in the middle of the Baja Desert, encircled by motorcycles. That was the weirdest thing probably I've ever heard in my life, actually. Some weird, some crazy things about it was just weird. All right. This is what, did you want to do the bedroom?
The, sure. Oh, no, never mind. Okay, the birthday. Yes. Right. Well, you know, this was, I've been thinking about this a little bit.
Wait, hang on. The Black Archers in Monterey, California, it has a link to the story there. And then Turquoise Arches, yes.
Black Arches matter, too.
Anyway, go ahead.
All right, I've been trying to figure out exactly how I was going to do this. Okay. So since we've using this new software now, it takes a little bit of effort to bounce around here a little bit. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I've got a couple of things I want to play for you. I want you to think about this. And let me do the first one here, and then we'll come back. Let's see. Let me get it all lined up here. And let's see. All right. Let's do it this way.
Talking about people losing sound over here.
Losing sound?
Yep.
What do you mean losing sound?
Yeah. recommend Denver.
Hang on a minute. If anyone has sound, everyone ought to have. If one person out there has sound, then it's not our fault. It means it's getting out. So, Mountain Shooter, Yakima Glock. Let's see. Kelly, are you on the internet in there? Should be all right, even if you were, but... Mm-hmm. Okay, if Northwest Heavy sound is good, then the rest of you just need to refresh. So. Okay, now here we go. I don't know how much of this you heard, so I'm gonna say it kind of briefly here. It takes me a minute to bounce back and forth here with this new software, so I'm going to play something for you. I want you to ponder on it a little bit, and then we'll come back and talk about it. Okay? Now, this... let's see. Let me do it this way. All right, here we go. Stand by just a second. I hate this, having to do it this way.
The sun is sinking in the west. The cattle go down to the stream. The red wing settles in her nest. It's time for a cowboy to dream. Purple eyes in the canyon, that's where I long to be with my three good companions. Just my rifle, pony, and me gonna hang my sombrero on the limb of a tree. Coming home, sweetheart darling, just my rifle, pony, and me.
Whippoorwill in the willow sings a sweet melody.
Riding to Amarillo,
Amarillo,
just my rifle, pony, and me.
No more cow,
no more.
Okay, now let's how many of you remember what that show is? I'm sure all of you know that the first guy singing there was Dean Martin, okay? Now, about the time the harmonica started there, when the second guy started singing, how many of you remember that show? And who was the second guy singing? Now, I'm going to give you just a second here. I want to make sure, let's make sure that we have sound. Everything's working right. It appears to be working right on this end. So, everything looks good here. All right. Let's check the chat room here and see. Hey, Longslide joined us. Welcome, brother.
Hey, Longslide.
All right. So, let's, I know we got a delay there, so I'm not going to push you too hard. Let's see. Hang on a minute. We just got a text here. No, okay, never mind. Let's see if we got sound. We're not getting a response here. All right, testing 1, 2. Hello, hello. Hello, hello. 5x5. Okay, we got 5x5. So somebody answer my question. Sound is good. Sound.
Maybe nobody knows, you think?
Well, I don't know. Nobody said I don't know. Nobody said I do know. Nobody's made a bad guess, good guess. So we're at a stalemate here.
I don't know.
You don't know? Susie B just joined us. And Susie B, thank you for your input there for XIAA. Do you know how to pronounce that? Do you even know what that is? I don't, but it works pretty good. It's an app that you can download onto your smartphone and listen to the show live on your phone, and it works pretty good. TuneIn is another one. I think TuneIn is what Minnie uses. So, if you can hear me, does anybody have any idea who that was? Dean Martin. Who was the second guy that started singing? Even do you even remember the movie? Okay, long slides, a delayed response, yeah. Must be a long delay. All right. Yeah, it is a long delay because they're just now getting some of that. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll give them just a second. Zia, Susie B says. All right. No, it wasn't Sammy Davis. All right, let's go to the next clue. You guys can be thinking about that for a minute. Here is the next clue. Stand by with me just a minute. As I said, it takes a second to bounce back and forth here, so stay with me.
The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, starring the entire Nelson family. Here is Ozzie, who plays the part of Ozzie Nelson. And, of course, his lovely wife, Harriet, as Harriet Nelson. The older of the Nelson boys, David, appears as David Nelson, and he's...
Okay, there's your second clue. Does anybody remember that show? Do you remember that show?
No.
You don't remember that? Ozzie and Harriet, really?
Ozzie. Way too young.
Yeah, I do pick them young, no doubt about it. So, Mountain Shooter knows. Mountain Shooter knows who it is. All right, Mountain Shooter, keep it to yourself then. Let's see, who else figures it out. And dying in a plane crash doesn't narrow it down too much because there was a lot of singers died in a plane crash back about the same time this guy. Well, no, actually, this guy died a little later than the other one. So,
Mini Min Pin says Ricky Nelson.
Okay, Mini Min Pin, you got it. Now, Mountain Shooter had it first. I know he knew who it was. Yeah, but oddly enough, Desert Rat's come in there now. He's got it. Yeah, the first one. Believe it or not, the movie Real Bravo, all of you have seen Real Bravo, except you, right? You never seen the John Wayne movie Real Bravo? Kelly, look on Netflix to see if Real Bravo's there. We're going to watch it after the show. You've got to be kidding me.
Never heard of it.
Unbelievable. Ricky Nelson never quite gained the famousness, the notoriety of popularity of Elvis, but he was not too far behind him. He was definitely a teen heartthrob there. But that was Real Bravo. And Ricky Nelson was the guy, if you saw the movie, he was the guy that was sitting on the desk. Dean Martin laying on the... There was four very famous guys in the room together. Dean Martin laying on the bed. He's started singing. Walter Brennan was sitting on a table in the back of the wall there, playing the harmonica. John Wayne had just walked in the room, and about that time, Ricky Nelson was sitting in there. He was playing the part of a cowboy, which was most unfitting of him, but he was the second guy that started singing there. If you guys haven't seen Real Bravo, when this show's over today, get on Netflix or get wherever you need to go find them. Go down to your local video rental and get one. So here is another one. Now this one, some of you already are familiar with it. Some of you younger ones like Amy may not be familiar. This is who you're trying to guess who it was. Here, stand by.
Hello, Mary Lou. Goodbye, heart. Sweet Mary Lou, I'm so in love with you. I knew
sorry for the little bit of delay between songs and stuff there, but that's the way it has to be right now for the way we've got it set up. But that was Ricky Nelson, born on this day in 1940 and died in 1985, supposedly in a plane crash. There's a little bit of controversy about his death. We won't go into that whole thing. You can look it up yourself. But he played I didn't play the last part of the Ozzy and Harriet thing. He played himself as Ricky Nelson of the Nelson family in Ozzy and Harriet back in the 50s and early 60s. I'm not sure exactly when it was on, but I know it was on in the early 60s. So, pretty neat show. I remember it. I watched it quite often. Okay, now you can have your show back. Go ahead. It's all urine. I mean, it's all yours.
Thanks for that tidbit of information.
That wasn't a tidbit. That was a gold mine.
A gold mine of information.
Yeah, thank you. Jeez.
All right. I don't know how many of you travel. A lot of people don't travel too much anymore by airplane. However, I do have a list of things here. This is unclaimed baggage. This is there's a unclaimed baggage center that's actually located in Scottsboro, Alabama, and all lost baggage goes there. That's all luggage that doesn't get claimed after a while, I guess, goes there. So they'll either donate or trash most of what they get. But they put a few.
Can I interrupt you 1 second, Rog? Sorry, I didn't recognize you there. Welcome. I'm glad you showed up here for a little bit. That's Big Rod from out in Albuquerque, Santa Fe. I don't know if you ever met him or not, but he was the one that did the first video for us. He put my first YouTube video on YouTube. Really? Yeah, and it's not even in my deal, but it's when we burnt the UN flag and then we retired a bunch of American flags. Now, mm-hmm. Rod was the one that. When I first put our sign up in, let's see, which one was it? Anyway, it was one of our signs there that we big controversy in Farmington. And he called after hours and left a message. And he says, "Hey, S.A., he said, I love you guys. He said, I don't remember what he said. I'll give you a big hug when I get there or something. I don't know." And anyway, finally, he came all the way down from Albuquerque or Santa Fe or wherever it was and spent all day with us down there. And we was burning American flags, retiring American flags, and we burned the UN flag earlier in the day, and we got to be good friends. And
that's fun.
So anyway, sorry to interrupt you again.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Back to me. Okay. Yeah. That was very nice to hear. All right. Anyway, like I was saying, there's a place located in Scottsboro, Alabama, where unclaimed luggage is sent. They usually throw most of it away or they'll donate some of it. Some of their very best things they will put up for sale. And then I have a list here of some of the strangest things that they have ever found in unclaimed luggage. So in the animal industry of it, there have been moose antlers, a giant tortoise shell, snake skin, a live rattlesnake, a bear skin packed in salt. It says apparently it smelled awful. A zebra pelt and 15 vacuum-packed frogs. 50 vacuum-packed frogs. There's some odd clothing that they
have. Vacuum-packed frogs.
Yeah, that's sick. This is some odd clothing that they have found. I know this is I think it's
Versailles. Where's it at? Let me see that spell.
It's a very expensive designer.
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah, anyway, a gown straight off the runway, a Vegas showgirl costume, an aluminized fire suit, and a full suit of 19th century replica armor. The valuables that they have found, 5.8 carat diamonds set in a platinum band that was hidden in a sock, a 41 carat emerald, a platinum Rolex valued at $60,000, and a painting tagged at $60 that was really worth $25,000. This is government property that they have found in lost luggage. A camera from the space shuttle. They said it was returned to NASA. And a missile guidance system for a fighter jet, and that was returned to the United States Air Force. Here's some weird little mementos that have been found. Someone's ashes, an engraved headstone, a coffin, a 4,000-year-old Egyptian burial mask, and a shrunken head.
A shrunken head.
Yeah. So.
Interesting.
That's, pretty gross, actually, to find something like that.
Huh, it looks like Obama, doesn't it?
Anyway. Those are some of the things that people find. And if you've lost something like that, it seems like you would, you'd know that it was missing. Would you not know that you missed, that you forgot your moose antlers? Or would you not know that you forgot your 5.8 carat diamond set in a platinum band? Or how about someone's ashes or a coffin? How do you forget those things? Anyway, so that's the kind of stuff I wanted to share with you tonight. But so there you have it. That is some unclaimed baggage that has turned up. And like I said, they usually, I don't know how long they keep them at this place in Alabama, but they throw most of it away, but they do go through it. And so they find all this stuff. I bet they find some crazy things sometimes. But anyway, that is my show for this evening, you guys. Thank you. Susie B says, I may lose a diamond, but not a shrunken head. But Longside says Eddie Crump lost his head. Anyway.
So that's it, just like that. You're just going to leave us, right? Just in the middle like of this. Actually, you've almost eat up your hour, so right. I guess that's okay.
Yeah. All right, well, you guys, thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed what I had to say and what I shared with you today. Have a nice rest of the week, and I'll be back later. Good night.
All right, stand by while I switch things over here, and I'll be back in a couple minutes.
They're gonna put me in the movies. They're gonna make a big star out of me. We'll make a film about a man that's sad and lonely. And all I gotta do is act naturally. Well, I'll bet you I'm gonna be a big star. Might win an Oscar, you can't never tell. The movie's gonna make me a big star, 'cause I can play the part so well. Well, I hope you come to see me in the movie. Then I know that you will plainly see the biggest fool that's ever hit the big time. And all I gotta do is act naturally. We'll make the scene about a man that's sad and lonely and begging down upon his bended knee. I'll play the part, but I won't need rehearsing. All I'll have to do is act naturally. Well, I'll bet you I'm gonna be a big star. Might win an Oscar, you can't never tell. The movie's gonna make me a big star, 'cause I can play the part so well. Well, I hope you come to see me in the movie. But then I know that you will plainly see the biggest fool's
has ever hit the big time. And all I gotta do is act naturally.
The number of people looking to buy firearms is up nearly 50% compared to 2007, according to the FBI.
In the month of November, our gun sales were probably comfortably 250% of what an average month is.
All in favor of losing your rights? Please do nothing.
I've got to get me back. I can't be beat, and that's a fact. It's okay, I'll find a way. Ain't gonna take me down no way. Yeah.
This rally is not about guns. But what these guns that everybody's going to wear represent is the true badge of the free man. That he can bear arms in defense of himself without permission from anyone. And that's what these arms represent.
Gun laws in the U.S. vary by state, and the amount of regulation is a hot-button political issue.
It can't take me.
You have associated two U.S. senators and associating them or comparing them to terrorists. I said, well, they are.
You can't take me.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch.
You can't take me.
And it's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are
Storm. All right, here we are. Welcome to the shooting bench, the 8th of May, 2017, and it's a Monday. I have to apologize for not being on Friday night. That was I had intentions. I had no idea that the track meet was going to last that long and everything. We just could not, couldn't get everything together there in time. So I apologize for that. I did catch the tinker in time, and he did get an archive up for us. So it wasn't a total loss. So for those of you that were tuning in to Liberty Lounge, there was a Liberty Lounge. It just wasn't live. So anyway. Hey, long slide, I've got your generator packed up and everything, but I have to get some more silver. I am out, so it's going to be a few days, but I'll get it off to you just as quick as I can. I've got a couple of them I need to get out there. So another thing I'm doing here, and I don't know if Ralph Rowe is with us tonight, but I've got to make another order of survival tabs, and I have been, because they screwed up on an order, I have been promised the same price that I got them for last time. So, one more time, if you want to do survival tabs at the cheapest that we've ever had them, and this, I don't know if we'll ever be able to get this price again or not, though I'm not going to tell you I can't, but they ordinarily don't let me have this. So, anyway, $25 a bottle, and that is shipped to your location, to your front door, for $25 a bottle. And those are normally, I think they're $32 or $36 buying them straight from the manufacturer. So this is a good deal. I'll just very briefly go over what survival tabs are. You can look them up on our website. But it's not a supplement. Ooh, excuse me. It is a complete full meal. You eat 12 of these tablets a day. Wash them down with water, and that's all you need. That's all of the You don't need anything else to go with it but water. It's got everything that you need in it. I've lived on them for 15 days. I took them in the exact same manner that I would in a poop hit the fan scenario. So if you want to, again, these things are cheap enough. You cannot grow your own food as cheap as these survival tabs are. You can put a year's supply of food in a suitcase. So there are no downsides to using survival tabs. Actually, there is one downside. I'll have to say that, and it's something you should practice because it's going to take a little bit of discipline. Don't wait until you're starving to death to take your survival tabs. Start getting in the habit of eating, one meal a day of survival tabs and then two meals of regular food and then maybe two meals a day of survival tabs or something. Because what I'm afraid is going to happen, and I worry about myself as much as everybody else, if you're really, really hungry and you get into that bottle of survival tabs, you're going to eat a hell of a lot more of them than you're supposed to. You're not supposed to eat until your belly's full. You're supposed to eat until you get all the nutrients that you need out of there, which is 12 tablets a day for the average person, 4 tablets per meal, or say 2 tablets per meal and a very, very small meal to go with it or something like that. But I'm just worried that discipline might be a bit of a problem when everybody wants to go to bed with a full tummy and all you have is survival tabs. Plenty of nutrition there. They'll do well. You can work at your full capacity. Your energy, everything is fine with survival tabs. You're just not going to experience that full tummy. Just drink lots of water with it and you'll be all right. Long slide. That's all it takes. Take silver every day. Won't get sick. That's how it works. Okay, well, let's go. Let me get rid of some of our birthday boy stuff up here. Ricky Nelson, he was a neat guy. He did a lot of good songs, a lot of good music back in the day. All right, let's look. I haven't set a date on ordering these survival tabs yet, but it will be soon because I've got a guy up there in Washington that got an order screwed up. And it wasn't our fault, so they're going to allow me to make another order, and it's probably going to be a week or so more before I get it done. But anyway. All right, let's get the crystal ball warmed up here. There was, we get in this argument pretty frequently with people about how wonderful and awesome law enforcement is. And, most of them are. Most of them are there for the right reasons, and they do a good job. But there seems to be more and more and more that are not there for the right reasons. And here is a Border Patrol guy, former Border Patrol program manager with U.S. Customs and Border Protection, pleaded guilty. Why do they say pleaded instead of pled?
Good question.
We need to find he pleaded guilty. He pled guilty in federal court. Let's see. This was a month or so ago, to making false statements in reference to improper use of security clearance in law enforcement databases. Court documents show that he used his position to make unauthorized searches on law enforcement databases and shared sensitive information with foreign nationals. Guy's name his name is Muchacho. Jesus R. Muchacho. Muchacho is a naturalized U.S. citizen from Venezuela who was assigned to Border Patrol National Targeting Center. Let's see, in Herndon, Virginia. Anyway, the position granted Muchacho a top secret security clearance, which included access to highly classified information on an now You know, they go through so many things in to get a top secret clearance. And, of course, that's not to say that, you can't, there's lots of spies out there that, go through and get their security clearances and all that. And then, but anyway, he faces up to 5 years in federal prison. I hope he gets every damn day of it. You know, one of the big things, the biggest thing in the news right now, are these Antifa morons, the anti-fascist, anti-First Amendment, anti-free America, you can call it whatever you want. It was modeled after the anti-fascist movement group that was popular in Germany and I think in the Netherlands back in the 40s, I guess, late 30s, 40s. And they're starting to be a problem. They're down in the South trying to get rid of all the Confederate monuments down there, which really, really pisses me off. I'm not from the South, but I have spent a lot of time down there, and I like the people down there. I like the history. I like the whole... you know, whether I agree with all of it doesn't matter. It's still a part of our history. Right, wrong, or indifferent, it's still a part of it. They're wanting to sandblast the images off of Stone Mountain down there close to Atlanta. And that would be, that I'm afraid that somebody's going to die. If they start doing that, I'm afraid that those Georgia boys down there are going to take that very, very personal. And it's not going to go well. Pretty sure it's not going to go well. But, you know, one of the things that we make fun of them, and they're easy to make fun of because they're stupid. They are, their whole reason for doing things is just, I don't even understand where they came up with the idea to pursue the goals that they're pursuing. But as goofy as they are, and as completely unreasonable as this whole thing is, we make fun of them and we laugh at them and we say, okay, yeah, bring it. I'm just bad. I'm right there with everybody else. But one thing I think we need to keep in mind, you know, there's one thing, on the one hand, you know, never underestimate, never underestimate your enemy, okay? We know that. The problem with these guys is they are, right now, they're doing what I have tried and tried to encourage you all to do ever since you've known me for 10 or 12 years. On this show, and that is to get professional training. Now, we've always talked about us doing this, but for different reasons. It's always been, you know, home invasions and you know, an active shooter at the mall and all this. But now, it's about to be a civil war. We talked the other day, we talked a couple of times about not spending near as much time now training people on speed as we are training people on tactics and accuracy. Yes, there certainly is a need to be faster than the bad guy. But if you go through as many videos as I've been through, hundreds and hundreds of videos, watching all these gunfights at gas stations and convenience stores and out in parking lots and all this stuff. You know, the need for the quick draw, the need for that kind of speed is, stand by 1 second, please. Be right back. Hold on. the need for that kind of speed, I don't think, is quite as necessary as making unconventional shots that we didn't used to. We've always taught headshots, always from the very beginning, but usually as a last resort, usually as when someone's wearing body armor or it's all you can see or they're all hopped up on drugs or whatever the case may be, drunk, you may have to go to the head. Now we're going to the head. We're probably spending, I'd guess, probably 300% more time, about three times more time on headshots than we used to. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing. We've talked about that quite a bit here just not too long ago. But, of course, it was hard enough to get people to train back when Obama was in office or when Clinton was in office. Now that Trump's in there, people have just gone back to sleep and they say, okay, great. We're going to make America great again. We don't need to, everything's going to be all rosy and sunshine, lollipops, unicorns and all that stuff. And training is just not on anybody's priority list except Antifa and Black Lives Matter and some of these other groups. And we can sit back on our haunches and say, you know what, we've got all this training, I've been shooting all this right there. It's going to be decades before they get caught up to us in training. Yeah, on the one hand, that's true. On one hand, it's going to take them quite a while. Most of them don't even have the true, honest mindset that most of us do. They are governed by emotion instead of common sense and good training and the right mindset. But they're training. Whatever their reason is, the problem with them, if you look at some of the videos that they've made and the things that they say, of course, chances are pretty good that a lot of them are just all bark and no bite. But there's still that possibility that there's going to be some that they've started some training camps. They've got one coming up here that's got a Special Forces guy and a Ranger that is going to train them. This seems to be quite a quite a rigorous and involved training program that they've got. It's going to be, I forgot how long it was, a couple of weeks, I think. And what I'm worried about is, yes, are we better than them? Yeah, I think most of us probably are. Most of us probably always will be. But I worry that we are going to get overconfident and not have our mind in the game properly, and we may wind up taking some losses before we figure out that these people are dead serious. And I think it's important that we think long and hard about our level of training and our preparedness and our readiness level. And looking at the different scenarios. The one scenario, you know, all of us have thought, you know, what's going to happen when the illegal aliens come? What's going to happen when the UN comes take our guns away? What's going to happen when all this stuff, you know, what's going to happen? But did any of us really think that we were going to be fighting Democrats? We knew that the liberals may ultimately start the problem, but it would be with someone else. I mean, using someone else. And here are these people, all of a sudden, now is it a false flag? Is George Soros paying these guys to do that? They may be, I don't care. That's beside the point. It doesn't make any difference. That is not part of the discussion. I don't care where they got the idea or who's doing it. The thing is, they did get the idea, they are doing it, and we're watching them and laughing. And I don't think that's a good idea. I think we better damn well take them serious and start working on our own, getting our own house in order here. Just in case something comes out of this and it's starting to look more and more like it might. If these people act like, see, the difference has always been with us. It's always been this way for those of us that have good values, good moral values, and morals and the upbringing that many of us has had. This is what happened when BLM, not Black Lives Matter, but the Bureau of Land Management and the FBI and all these other idiots have gotten a hold of the Bundys and the Hammonds and all these guys. We tried to stand on moral ground. We tried to take the moral high road here. And they, on the other hand, have no boundaries. They have no accountability. They are exactly like Black Lives Matter and Antifa and everyone. They can do whatever they want, and we haven't done anything to counter that. And I'm afraid that that's what's happening with Antifa and some of these other groups. I think sitting around on Facebook and laughing at them is probably not the best in our best interest. Good question, Susie B. Maybe we'll address that in a second. Yeah. So anyway, tell your friends, get on your email list and your Facebook pages and stuff, and let's see if we can turn this around a little bit. And the problem is that we've got so many guys that think they are so tough. I'm talking about our side, not theirs. That think they are so tough. You know, they've been in the Army, they've been a scout, they've been in special forces, they've been this, they've been that. And sometimes they've just been nothing but a Cub Scout or whatever. But I fear that there's not enough of us taking them serious enough to prevail here if something were to happen. I have little doubt whatsoever that we will prevail when this happens. I'm just afraid that the losses may be unacceptable because of our can't think of the word here. Anyway, for us not doing what we ought to be doing. Can't think of the cotton picking word right now. So that's my rant for the day. You guys can do with it what you want, but I hope you'll ponder on it a little bit and maybe share it with some of your friends and contacts and stuff. All right, let's get back here and get this crystal ball fired up again. Every time I let it cool off for a minute. Hey, you guys, have you watched? I think it's on tonight. And we're missing it right now, but it is available in several places online and on Facebook. You can go and get some links on Facebook. And that is a show called The American Standoff. The American Standoff is the story about what they call the armed takeover of the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. And the murder of LaVoy Finicum and the whole thing that happened up there. It's I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to, without a doubt. The Finicums are pretty happy with waking up. There's some things in there that is not factual, not correct. But overall, they say it tells a pretty good story. So I would make every effort to watch that. It let's see. You can go to AmericanStandoff.directtv.com and let's see, you can stream it from there evidently. So anyway. Okay. Alright, well, Susie B has someone evidently that is about to become an Eagle Scout. And she wondered what would be a good gift for someone who's about to be an Eagle Scout. Well, obviously the best thing would be a Glock 17. That would be a great gift for them. No, but I think everybody else is on the right track here. A good knife or a good pair of knives, maybe a good fixed blade like a K-bar or something like that, and then a good folder like the CKRTs we talked about the other night here a week or two ago, and a pair of good knives and a sharpener of some kind. You know, that would be a great gift for an Eagle Scout. There's depending on, you know, how much money you want to spend and who this person is and all that, but you know, I don't think long slide is out of reason at all for suggesting a Ruger 10/22. You can buy a new one for $150 or less. Not a bad choice at all. Okay, never mind. Bet's off. Susie B says no guns. He'd probably cry. Just because he's an Eagle Scout doesn't mean he's a brave Eagle Scout. All right, maybe he hadn't gotten to get him a knife either. Maybe I ought to get him a package of cotton balls or something. Channel 239 is where they say that is Yakima Glock. Go to AmericanStandoff.directtv.com and it will give you all the information you need on the American Standoff movie. I'm really anxious to watch that. All right. Now I think what needs to happen here right now is we need to go for a break. So I'm going to shut this thing off. Well, wait a minute. No, I'm not. I'm going to keep talking here. Let's see if I can bring this thing back up here. And if I can, I'm going to play two or three songs for you that we never did get around to Friday. This coming Friday, I'd like to tell you, I promise you a show on Friday night, and I'm going to make every effort to. I'm going to make every effort that I possibly can to make sure this happens. However, if it does happen, we're going to do what we tried to do the other night, and that would be the Old West, you know, the country, the Texas, the Western cowboy stuff and all that. So hold on one second. Thanks, sweetie. All right, let me see here. I may be having a problem. All right, scratch that. We're going to have to do it differently. But it was the thought that counts, so don't ever forget that. All right, let's do this like this. And one more. And let's do this. All right. Let's listen to some music for a little bit, and then I'll be back.
You ran crying to the bedroom, I ran off to the bar. Another piece of heaven gone to heaven. The words we spoke in anger just tore my world apart. And I sit there feeling sorry for myself. Then an old man sat down beside me and looked me in the eye. And he said, son, I know what you're going through. You ought to get down on your knees and thank your lucky stars that you got someone to go home to. You don't know about lonely or how long nights can be till you've lived through the story that's still living in me. Till you face life alone, you don't know about lonely. Till it's chiseled in stone. So I brought these pretty flowers, hoping you would understand. Sometimes a man is such a fool. Those golden words of wisdom from the heart of that old man showed me I ain't nothing without you. You don't know about lonely or how till you've lived through the story that old man just told me. And you don't know about sadness till you face life alone. You don't know about lonely till it's chiseled in stone. You don't know about lonely till it's chiseled in stone.
feel so helpless. I feel just like a kid. What is it about you makes me keep my feelings here? I wish I could tell you, but the words can't be found. Whenever you come around, I get weak in the knees and I lose my breath. Oh, I try to speak, but the words won't come. I'm so scared to death. When you smile, that smile, the world turns upside.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
All right, we're back. It's kind of a long break, but that's okay. We got things to do, places to go, and people to see, so let's see here. Have so many things. You remember when the Marine, let's see if I can find that story for you here. Let's see. I had it on here. I hate all this clickbait crap on here that, you think you're getting something and you get something else. Remember when that Marine was caught in New Jersey here, what was it, probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago? Yeah, we talked about it quite a bit on the show here, and he got in trouble. He had he got arrested for having a legally owned gun that was unregistered in the state of New Jersey. And if I remember right, I think he was just moving to New Jersey or he was just passing through. I don't remember the whole story. But anyway, this has been a big deal for quite a while, and Governor Christie did one good thing in his whole life, and he commuted the sentence for the war vet. And so now he's a free man. He commuted the sentence. And I'm really a little surprised that Christie would do that. He's been no friend of gun owners whatsoever. This guy did 3 tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan, all kinds of medals and for bravery and all, and then he comes home and he didn't register his gun. And it seems that he was an MP, the soldier was. MP now has a wife and kids at home, and he was, he was preparing to surrender to authorities for what would have been a minimum 36-month sentence for possession of an unregistered firearm. Now, I don't know if Trump had anything to do with this or if, someone else stepped in or if Christie just had a change of heart or what. But he said that this soldier was assured that it was not a joke, and he was very, very grateful that this happened. So, and that had to put a little feather in Governor Christie's cap too, and that may be what it was all about. And then remember also that there was a woman that we also talked about on the show that had a legally owned handgun in her car, and she had it with her. She was going to walk, if I remember right, she was walking on a monument there or a park or a museum or something, and she was just walking around. She thought she wasn't doing anything wrong. She had a carry permit and everything else, but it just wasn't any good in New Jersey. So anyway, he pardoned her also, and she was arrested in October of 2013. A couple of years later, he pardoned her for carrying a legally owned handgun in her car. She had a Pennsylvania permit to carry, but New Jersey doesn't recognize Pennsylvania or anybody else, as far as I know. All right, well, that's enough of that. Move on here to bigger and better things. There was, should we do this one? No, let's do this one. This goes right along with the Antifa. This was equally stupid here. Apparently, MSNBC is going to have no part of building a wall on the border. They have determined, or they want us to believe, they aired a whole segment just the other day, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, about all the animals that are going to be negatively affected by this wall, including birds. This guy, his name's the TV host here, Jeff Corwin, talking about animals that would suffer from this border wall. He said, if this border wall happens, it will be an unprecedented environmental catastrophe. Now listen to those words. This will be an unprecedented environmental catastrophe. Unprecedented means that it rates right up there at the top of the heap where there ain't a whole lot of them just like it. Unprecedented means that this is going to be the first ever. It means more than Chernobyl, more than Fukushima, more than, what was that oil spill, in the Gulf here a few years ago that was so big? Forgot the name of it anyway. So none of those, all that was a drop in the bucket compared to what this wall is going to do. He said it's poised to cut through more than 1,200 miles of habitat along the border between the United States and Maine. You know what lives out there? Rattlesnakes. Jackrabbit occasionally. Maybe a deer or two here and there. And uh He said there's over 90 threatened and critically endangered species that are in the crosshairs because of this wall, including 100 migratory birds. Corwin said the Mexican wolf has its head on the chopping block because of the wall. Now tell me, how exactly is this wall going to affect the birds? How exactly is this wall going to affect the wolves? How exactly is this wall going to affect anything unless they happen to hit something on the head with a hammer or drop a pipe on it while they're building a wall or something? Yeah, Yakima Glock, the BP oil spill in the Gulf, that's the one. He was asked if birds could just fly over the wall. Now, I don't know who asked him this. Somebody had to have looked him straight in the eye and said, "Do you really think Guam is going to capsize because there's too many people?" No, that's not the wrong guy. He said, could birds just fly over the wall? And he said, many animals actually stay very low, including birds and bats. How many birds and bats do you know that routinely fly less than 30 feet high? A wall would be a terrible obstacle for them. 30-foot high wall is going to be a terrible obstacle for these birds. You know, I had a sign put out, it's actually out there in my shop right now. I had a sign that I made back in 2006, I believe. I might even have it on this computer somewhere. That said that liberalism was, I wonder if I do have it on this computer. Okay. Anyway, it's a mental disorder. You've all seen it, but I think if I wasn't the first, I was among the first to come out with that. I don't know how many others did it. I'd never seen it before. I'd put it out, but that doesn't mean it wasn't done before. Let's look here and see if no, I think it's on my other laptop. Let's look in here and see. Yeah, it's on my other laptop. I don't remember exactly how it was worded, but anyway, I'll find it and get it up here one of these days. Well, it is what it is. I do have one more place to look. Nope. Not there either. About right there. Nope, not there either. All right. Well, heck with it. So the birds can't fly over the wall. This is going to be a big problem, I can tell already. This story, I didn't quite get the whole deal on this. This was a little town in Massachusetts. The guy had 98 guns confiscated, impounded, and a number of shells after a complaint that they were being improperly stored. Now, where but Massachusetts, you know? Maybe Hawaii or New Jersey or something. The Cohasset Police Department on April 14th announced that they had seized a collection from a home following a search warrant. Photos posted by the agency show a myriad of vintage long arms, including Mauser bolt-action rifles, lever-action Winchesters, a Browning Auto 5 semi-auto shotgun, and assorted other firearms piled in the bed of a pickup truck. I mean piled. all just thrown in the back of the truck all together. No cases, no blankets, no nothing. Just thrown in the back of the truck. While the authorities caution the case remains under investigation, local media report that five military-grade ordnance shells were transferred to the custody of a Navy unit from Naval Station Newport after being cleared by Massachusetts State Police Bomb Squad. So someone told authorities that these were improperly stored. They said charges are imminent. It's just a matter of how many offenses he'll be charged with. And however many we can dig up, we're going to get just as damn many as we can, because that's what we do. That's how we get our paycheck. That's what pays our paycheck here, is the amount of stuff that we get like this. So Massachusetts is the only state that requires all firearms to be stored with a locking device in place, barring keeping any firearm unless it is secured in a locked container or equipped with a lock. So 98, I bet that guy's sick to his stomach, knowing that probably never see him again, that they'll be stored in a humid, damp basement somewhere until comes to trial and finds out that he's innocent and, you know, or goes to jail and gets his guns back 30 years from now or whatever. All right. Yeah, we already done that one. I forgot to get rid of it. All right, it's gone now. We won't do it again. In remember, we may have talked about this. Remember in Augusta, Kansas, here the other day, we talked about the service dog that was shot, the veteran service dog shot by police officer. Now, and then the city of Augusta, Kansas threatened to arrest anybody for attending a vigil for the dog that was shot by the cop. City of Augusta says arrests will be made for those who attend a candlelit vigil for a veteran service dog who was shot by an Augusta police officer. And then, evidently, since publishing that article, they have reached out to the deal there and they said that agreement has been reached and they approved a certain area to do this. But that was ridiculous to me to even consider that. All about the money. Mini Minpin says that Bob Owens has died. Bob Owens, 46, founder of BearingArms.com. I'll be darned. Thanks, Minnie, for posting that. BearingArms.com is a great site. Matter of fact, I get a lot of my stories from them from time to time. And I don't know what he died of. I'll have to check and read that later. But if you haven't checked into that blog, check it out. BearingArms.com. It's a great resource for, I don't know what's going to happen to it now, you know, that he's dead, if it's going to be taken over or put out of its misery or what's going to happen here, but hopefully they'll keep it going and keep it with as credible and timely as it is. Alabama bank manager dies after accidentally shooting himself in Rainbow City, Alabama. Unbelievable. Typically carried a firearm at the bank where he worked. Authorities said surveillance video from inside the bank shows what appears to be Daniel startled by something. As he walked, he tripped and his gun went off. No. He tripped and he had his finger on the trigger and he pulled it most likely and it went off. Bank employee later found Daniel lying on the floor unresponsive, announced dead at the scene. That's too bad. You only get one chance to do this right, folks. Rainbow City Police TC is well-known, outstanding citizen. They always are. All right. Let's move on. What time is it anyway? We got 10 more minutes here. There was another one here I wanted to... Let's see. That's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good one. Let me see. There's something here that I really wanted to... We talked about that one. Where in the heck did it go? There it is. This just came out a couple of days ago. I know we haven't talked about it. We did talk about one just like this, maybe what, 2-3 weeks ago? But this is a brand new story. It's only 4 days old. So it would have happened, what, Friday, Thursday or Friday? Firearms instructor in Livonia, Michigan. Livonia. Say the, hold on 1 second here. You get Amy to turn that radio down a little bit. I think you guys probably hear it in the background there. Detroit area firearms instructor accidentally shot and wounded a man attending a gun training class. You know, typically, that's not good advertisement for a gun safety class. You know, isn't it like that special forces guy that time showing his girlfriend? He said, don't do this. And then he showed her why. And so hopefully she'll... remember her boyfriend's brain splattered all over the living room floor and know not to do that again. But during a training class, you're really not supposed to shoot your student to prove your point. Said a man was shot Saturday at a gun range west of Detroit. 44-year-old instructor was conducting, and listen to this. Conducting a class for people seeking concealed pistol licenses when he pulled his gun out of its holster, pointed it at the door separating the two classrooms, and fired around. 39-year-old Detroit man sitting in the other classroom was struck in both legs. Really? The instructor has not been arrested but could face charges in the shooting. What do you say? Pulled the gun out. Unknown, I don't know what he was saying or doing or demonstrating, but he pulled it out and shot. I don't know if he thought that it was unloaded or he'd been messing with another unloaded gun, and I don't know. Don't know what happened. But it wasn't the right thing to do anyway. All right, let's see. Oh, you heard about the deal in Arlington, Texas. And by the way, this one here comes from BearingArms.com, speaking of Bob Owens. There was a shooting, a robbery in, well, it wasn't a robbery. The guy was come in and just started blazing away in Arlington, Texas. And a guy just walked into the... restaurant down there and shot one person, which was the bar's manager, I guess, a bar, not a restaurant. And anyway, the guy, make a long story short, the guy told his wife, get down, and he exchanged rounds with this guy, wound up killing him, and they have later found two loaded guns and two knives on this guy. So the potential there for extreme loss of life, it looked like, was pretty high. So, thank goodness for a good guy with a gun. Said the patron with the concealed carry permit told his wife to get down. He drew his weapon and eliminated the gunman, preventing further loss of life. Well, anyway. Minnie, you have got to be kidding. Susie B said the guy in the other classroom had it coming. Well, he probably did. Minnie, I don't know where you got that. I'm going to have to click on this. Minnie just posted something in the chat room, and I'm going to have to share it with you. Actually, it's not going to share. It's not coming up for me. Let's try it again. Nope, it's not working, Minnie. Well, let me just tell you what the headline says then. Middle school student suspended for liking a photo of a gun on Instagram. Okay, well, I'll just leave that right there. I'll look that up, see if I can find something on it. That link's not working, though, Mini Man Pin. So if you can find something else on that, we'll check it out later. Okay, well, I want to tell everybody one more time about the, any of you looking for survival tabs? And, Susie B, I don't know if you see Ralph Rowe. I mean, I think you probably know who he is. But if you see him, I'll get a hold of him on Facebook and let him know too. But, he's the one that got the order messed up, of survival tabs. And he is the reason that I am going to be able to order once again at the same price of these survival tabs. So if you want to get in on them, you need to let me know pretty pronto, because it's going to be in the next few days that we're going to order again. So I'm trying to get everything squared away here for get our DJ running here. Wow. Susie B says she got the red hand of you have been reported at my previous job because I clicked on a customer's website and they had an NRA ad on their website. Unbelievable. I tell you what, this reset, and I hate to sound like a doomsday or a warmonger or something, but as far as I'm concerned, this reset can't come fast enough for me. I think we need to try to get things back in order in this country in some way or another. This is just not working out well for me. All right. Well, I'm going to sneak on out of here. If there's no reason to believe that I won't be back Wednesday. Everything seems to be fine for Wednesday night. What I don't know about for sure yet is what's going to happen. Friday night. So I won't be here at home. We'll see what happens. I will let you know as soon as I possibly can. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I may try to put together a current pre-record for you if I am not able to do that. So, all right. Well, all that being said, I think I'm going to sneak out of here, and we'll see you Wednesday. Thanks for joining me.
Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.